have no worries when it comes to ask the pastor, because as I've said before, a legitimate answer that if you ask me could be, I don't know. And so ask any question you want. You could ask any question you want. I did want to highlight the retreat real quick. You know, the retreat, it's a very, very important part of our church family because we get to spend multiple days together and you build connection with each other. You get to know people, get to talk with people that maybe you haven't had a chance to talk to in depth, especially on Sunday morning if you come. There's really not that much time to interact. So we really want to encourage you to go to the retreat. There is a morning session, evening session. Most of the afternoons are free. We have a game day one day on Sunday afternoon. But it's one of the best times. And we haven't had one. And particularly this year, we feel like it is very, very significant because of our theme. We felt like the theme that the Lord wanted us to focus in on is stronger together. Stronger together. And we believe with society, with the way things are, in order to stand strong in our faith, we really need to do it together as community. It's so hard these days if you're on your own or even as a family to stand strong in the Lord by yourself. And so we really feel like we need to come together, strengthen our relationships, strengthen our community. And so, and we, like Kyle said, we do that with different activities, speaking, worship, games. But one of the things we prepare you for at the retreat is for battle, for warfare. And so I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to show you a little clip of how we helped prepare everyone for battle. Okay, let's roll the clip. So that's what you have to look forward to. Of course, that fierce woman warrior is my wife, Dale. She's Korean. You know, she's Korean. So she got the Korean fire in her. But we have so much fun. I know when we first posted it last year, some of Mindy's friends were telling her, I want to come to your church retreat. I want to come to your church. It's so much fun. We have a lot of fun. We learn a lot. So please sign up. Be a part, and please consider staying overnight, because we feel like when we stay overnight together, a lot of things happen, you know, and rather than if you commute. So encourage you to sign up for the retreat, all right? Next, I'm going to introduce our speaker. You know, today is our multi-gen service, multi-generation service. We do that once a month, first Sunday of the month. And one of the reasons or one of the purposes we want to use the multi-gen service is we want to give different ages, different generations, different individuals in our church the opportunity to express themselves, to express their faith, to share, to be involved. And so we had things with the kids, you know, praying for people, praying for adults. We've had family ministry sharing. That's been great. We've had the youth sharing, doing different things, like coming up and sharing about YWAM. Plug for YWAM, give, okay? Give to YWAM. I know they're doing fundraisers, but please support them. They're doing this to go to in Oregon, to the YWAM base, primarily for evangelism, to reach out. So please pray and support our youth with YWAM. But we want our church to be multi-generational. We want the multi-generational service to give different people in our church of all ages a chance to express their faith in the Lord and to have a platform for them. And so we're starting today a series. It's on relational evangelism. It's on outreach. It's for this month. And I was supposed to give the message, but it was just a God thing. I'm not going to go into all the details, but it's just a God thing. I was talking to Henry Chi, our leader of our elders. I was talking to him, and one thing led to another. We were talking about Noah, and I just felt like, I think I'm supposed to ask Noah if he wants to share this morning and give the message. So I talked to Henry, he talked to Noah, and Noah said, I'd love to. And so, and you know what? The Lord's been preparing Noah, because I know Noah and Jaden as well, they're in these speech, like, competitions. And that's been building him up, preparing. And so I'm just thrilled. I'm excited. I know Noah does have, carry a heart to want to see people saved, to want to share, want people to hear about the gospel and the love and salvation of Jesus. And so let's give a warm family, Catalyst family welcome as he comes up to share. Noah Chi!
Wow. This is huge. Well, hello, Catalyst. In case you forgot my name's Noah, and some of you might recognize me because I play the drums on worship, and I've been going to Catalyst for all my life, all my whole life. And today, I want to talk with you about sharing the gospel. Now, I want you all to use your imagination. You're coming home from grocery shopping, and you're carrying two big bags of groceries. Then something odd catches your eye, and you see a baby crawling on the sidewalk, headed towards the street, and a car is driving down the street towards that baby. Now, what are you gonna do? Well, there's a few options. Option A, you ignore the baby, and say, the parents are probably around and are watching. Option B, you first go to put the groceries away, and then you come out to help the baby. Or C, you drop those groceries, and you run out as fast as you can to save that baby who might go into the street and be hit by a car. Now, who thinks A is the best option? All right, no hands. What I expected. Who thinks B is the best? Okay, that's one. Now, who thinks C is the best? That's what I thought. A bunch of hands. All right, well, just so you know, I'm giving you this example as a metaphor. And the baby represents people who don't know Jesus. And by saving that baby is like sharing the gospel to someone and that person deciding to believe in Jesus and be saved. Now, many people might think they're good Christians because they read the Bible and go to church. And we're called by God to do those things. But that's not all that being a Christian is about. You know, there's something that I think we miss or don't pay much attention to, which is sharing the good news to others that don't know Jesus. The thing is, we always think we will do something like option C, but we end up choosing A or B because we're either too afraid, too busy with other things, or it's not a high priority for us. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 28, 18 through 19. If you don't have a Bible, it'll appear on the screen. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This is known as the Great Commission, God's calling to us. You know, Jesus is commanding to go tell the world about him, help bring them into his kingdom, and teach them his ways. So now you might be asking, well, what should I do to take a step out of my comfort zone and share the good news of Jesus Christ? Well, God tells us the answer in 1 Peter 3:15. Now, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter 3:15. In 1 Peter 3:15, he says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Now, there are three main points in this verse that teach us how to share the good news. The first is in the beginning of 1 Peter 3:15, which says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared." Now, how do we be prepared? By being alert and available to what God is doing. We should always be alert and on the lookout for people who need to hear the good news or just need to be touched by Jesus. You know, one time I was with my dad and my brother, and we stopped at a McDonald's at Redondo Beach one time, and once we pulled up to the drive-thru, we saw this homeless guy just sitting on the sidewalk, and my dad was like, "Hey, maybe we should get him something." So my brother and I are in the car, and my dad rolls down the window, and he peeks out and says, "Hey, do you need anything like a meal from McDonald's?" And he's like, "Yeah, if you could buy me a meal, that would be great." So we ordered what he wanted, and we told him to wait with us at the curbside pickup because, you know, it was like COVID. So we went over and introduced ourselves and asked him to share his story. And he told us that he was going back and forth from California and Mexico, and he went to prison for drugs. And he also said that when he went to prison, he believed in and was saved by Jesus. Then when he got out, he felt called to be a pastor, but while he was training to be one, he struggled again from addiction, and he fell away. After he told us this, we asked him if we could pray for him, and he was like, "Yeah, I would love it." And we didn't just pray a simple prayer for him. We specifically prayed that he would come back to God and fulfill his mission as a pastor. Now, I don't know what happened to him, but I have faith that God will use him. You see, in moments like these, you need to be alert and available, and you need to be watching for anyone who maybe needs help or is in a hard situation where you can represent Jesus to them. Now, let's go back and take a look at the middle of 1 Peter 3:15 for our second point, which says, to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Now, how should we make our response? Well, we should do this by knowing and sharing the truth and why we believe it. You know, we always have to be ready to give a quick and simple response that immediately explains the good news and why it's true. You know, once I was at my school and my history teacher asked the class, "If you were in a court case helping an unfree slave become free, but you lost that case, what would you say to that person?" And I said, "I would say to that slave that I'm sorry we lost, but we're going to keep trying. But I also want you to know that there's a God who loves and cares about you so much that he died for you. So that when we die, we could live with him forever, have eternal life, and experience true freedom. In moments like these, you need to be able to have a very quick but confident response. And you really have to know who God is if you want to share that good news. Now, we need to be prepared to give a response that explains the hope that is in us, which means we need to be alert and available and be able to speak the truth of the good news. Are you ready to share the truth of the gospel in 30 seconds or less with those who ask? Are you ready to explain to others why it's true? Well, the third point is found at the end of 1 Peter 3:15, which says, "Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Now, what does this mean? Well, you know, I was researching, and in the Greek translation, gentleness and respect means with meekness and fear. Now, it's not the fear of being scared, but it's like the fear of the Lord. Now, growing up, I had a really good friend, and his name was Zach, and I really wanted to share the good news with him because he wasn't a Christian and he wasn't saved. At that time, you know, I wasn't very sensitive and loving, so when I shared it to him, I kind of judged him and even trying to force him to accept Jesus, which wasn't right at all. And I remember telling him that it was bad he wasn't a Christian. If he didn't accept Jesus, he would perish in hell, which caused a really big gap between us. But you see how important it is to have humility with others while sharing. What I lacked back then were certain aspects of love, like patience, kindness, gentleness, respect, and even the fear of the Lord. And speaking about Jesus and the gospel to others without love, it's like trying to plant a seed in hard soil without first trying to soften the soil with water. One of my favorite verses is in 1 Corinthians 13:1 through 7, and I'm going to use the Message translation because it accurately describes what I'm trying to say. Now, this verse says, "If I speak with human eloquence in angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, no matter what I believe and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love." Now, I want to thank you guys for letting me come up and share. But before I go back down and listen to Pastor Barry's word, I want to pray for us all. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I come to you this morning, and I thank you so much that you gave me this opportunity to speak to people who need to hear your truth and they need to be loved. And God, I pray for those maybe here today who aren't saved, who need to be saved, and once they're saved, they would be able to share the gospel and the news and spread it. And I pray for those who are saved and are afraid to step out of their shell, that you would give them the encouragement and you would give them basically the courage to step out of that shell and spread the word with love. And I pray for those who are taking a step like YWAM and other adults, I pray that they would be able to give good responses and they'd be able to show the love of God through them. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I get to follow that. Awesome. Good job. So good. So good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. You know, to follow up with Noah's message, the Lord wants every single person to come into relationship with him. It says in 1 Timothy 2:4, God, who wants all people to be saved and to come into a knowledge of the truth. He wants everyone. He knows not everyone's going to, but he desires every single person to come into relationship with him. And like what Noah preached, he preached the Great Commission. God has commissioned us to make disciples in all nations. And so it's our responsibility, it's our calling on our lives to go out and reach the people that God has put into our lives. The ones that are our neighbors, the ones that are our friends, at our workplace, our family. To reach out to them and to share with them the good news. But like Noah said, do we do it with judgment? Do we do it with a finger pointing at them? No, we want to do it with love and respect and gentleness to honor them for this decision that they are going to make one way or the other. And that's why, you know, Alpha, I just feel like Alpha is setting us up to be able to do that. It's setting us up to develop relationships with the people, to show them, for them to feel like these people aren't just trying to convert me to something, but they actually love me and they actually like me. You know, I know for me, like, if I didn't have this church and all you guys to talk to and to share and just to be a part of a family, my life would be so much more empty. Of course, without the Lord too, my life would be so much more empty. And when I think about those who don't know Jesus, that's what they face. When they went through this pandemic stuff, who were they able to turn to? I feel like for us, we had the opportunity to turn to each other, to connect with each other, to be in small groups and to see each other's faces and hear each other's voices, even when we're in the midst of a deadly disease. And so it is our responsibility, it's our calling. This, we owe it to them to step out and invite people to church. Like Barry was saying, in July, we're going to do Bring a Friend. We're also going to do Catalyst Cup. And then another option is to invite them to Alpha. So invite your friends. Pray about it. Ask the Lord, who do you want me to invite? Who do you want me to give this invitation to? Because their lives are at stake. Now, I shared with you earlier, what does it actually look like? What is Alpha? What are what do they call it? Alpha is a series of group conversations that explore the basics of the Christian faith. What are we inviting them to? These conversations, what does it look like? Again, I think there's more people here now than were here when I did the announcement, so I'm going to go over it again. So we invite them to come. It's going to be the Freedom Center. We invite them to come to the Freedom Center. We're going to have a dinner together, a meal together. We're going to talk and laugh and have a good time. And then at some point, we'll switch over to a video. We'll watch a video that teaches about the Christian faith, teaches about God, talks about life. And then, again, like I said before, the most important part is the discussion, is the conversation, is the sharing of opinions and thoughts and beliefs. And it's going to be mostly from the guests. In the beginning, for I would say the first 5-6 weeks or so, first 5-6 sessions, the Christians aren't really going to say much. It's going to be allowing the guests to share their thoughts, their feelings, to share their background. What happened? Why, you know, did they have some kind of traumatic thing from a Christian or from a church? But for them to share with us, with the Christians, this is what I went through. This is, you know, and then again, giving their opinions on the teaching too. I don't agree with it. I agree with it. Whatever. But it's just the developing of the friendship, developing of just a safe environment. And you know what? With our church, this is something that we are really good at. You know, when the group from Hawaii came, Pastor Barry shared this with the staff. They were saying, you can really feel the heart of God in this place. You can really sense it. And we've talked to other people too, where they come and they say, yeah, I can really feel the love of the Lord, the heart of the Father in this place. And I feel like that is something our church carries. And so we want other people to experience it. Ones that maybe they might not want to come to church, maybe they'll come to an Alpha group discussion. And for them to experience the heart of the Father there. And, oh man, I tell you, if it was your friend or my friend that I invited and they got to taste and experience the Father's heart, oh man. Oh, I know for me, thinking about some of my friends and stuff, oh, I would just love for them to experience that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a time of eating, teaching, and discussion in a safe environment, safe, non-judgmental environment. Now, I had someone ask me, like, okay, so that's great, but how do I ask them? How do I invite that person? You know, and so let me give you a few tips on what you can do to ask them. First of all, pray, okay? Pray and ask the Lord who he wants you to invite. That's critical. So let's do that. Let's pray and let's listen for the Lord's voice, see who he highlights, and those are the ones that we want to make the invitation to. Number two, tell them that Alpha is a series of group conversations that explore the basics of the Christian faith. Just tell them, we're going to have time to talk about the Christian faith. We're going to get together. We're going to talk about it. We're going to learn some things together. We're going to have a good time doing it, okay? But just tell them, that's what Alpha is about. It's about a group meeting. It's about our time together. Yeah. And then you can let them know that there's 11 sessions, okay? It's kind of long. I know it's kind of long. I think even for the Christians, we're like, wow, it's 11 sessions? That's I don't know if I can help that much. You can let them know it's 11, and if they feel like, 11's too much, I don't know if I want to do 11, could you tell them, can you commit to 3? Just come to the first 3, and then at that point, you can make a decision whether you want to continue or not, right? So they don't have to commit to all 11, but if you can just say, hey, can you commit to 3? Just come on out, try it out, see it. If you don't like it, nope, no big deal. You can not come anymore. So you can tell them that. Another thing you can do is if they're fearful of coming by themselves, you can tell them, I'll go with you. Okay? You can tell them, I'll come with you. And you can come and join in the discussion. Well, again, with the Christians, we're not going to say very much. So you'll sit there with the rest of the Christians and we'll listen and encourage, have a meal together. But come with them. If they feel kind of nervous about it, you just tell them, I'll come with you, and we'll go together to experience this, okay? You can let them know that dinner will be provided, and so, yeah, they don't have to pay anything. They can just come on out. You can also let them know that childcare, if they have kids and they want to bring the kids, that childcare is available. I'm going to have a promo card next week. I'm hoping next week that I'll pass it out to all of you guys so that you have something in your hand if you want to, you know, give it to them. But it also the website, our church website will have information as well. So you can direct them there. And then the promo card will have a QR code on it. So if they want to join Alpha, all they have to do is scan that QR code and then it'll take them right to the registration. So easy peasy, all right? So those are some things you can do to encourage people to come, okay? We don't want to just go, okay, go, and just send them by themselves, but say, hey, all you have to do is commit for 3 weeks, and I'll go with you, I'll go with you, and we'll have a great time together. Okay? So, I hope that answers most of the questions that are out there about what it is and what it's like. And so right now, I'm actually going to bring up Belinda Gonzalez, because she actually has a testimony about Alpha and what happened. She's so excited to share. it was so great. I was talking to Belinda, and I didn't know that she took Alpha, or she went through it. She served and helped. And so she started sharing some things, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you have to share with our congregation what happened, you know? And so, Belinda, why don't you share with our church family, when were you involved with Alpha, and what happened? What did you do?
I'm not sure what year it was, but it was a long time ago, because it was back at Cerritos when we were doing Alpha there. And at the time, they also gave out cards. They told us, like you have shared about what Alpha is, and they gave us cards. And I had it in my car, and I hadn't prayed about who to ask, but I happened to run into a friend. And we were, I think, at Sam's Club. And so I just ran into her in the parking lot. And we were talking. And somehow church and God came up. And I happened to have the card in my Bible in my car. And I didn't really have a chance to really overthink it. And so I just invited her, because I had the card there, and I could just say, hey, would you be interested in going? And she took the card, and she ended up attending the first Alpha that we had.
Wow, wow. So it wasn't anything planned as far as your invitation. It was just running into her in the spontaneous, some kind of spontaneous thing, and wow, wow, wow.
So I think if I had a chance to think about it and think, oh, I should invite her, I would probably have talked myself out of it, because I would be focusing on myself, like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to, you know, offend her or be too pushy, and I would overthink it, and I would probably say no for her and never ask her. But because I didn't really have to go down that road, it was just, you know, offered. Mm. We were going through the series, so it's kind of a God thing, right? Mm. That it was more him than me.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So those cards, okay? So keep those cards with you. You might need them at Sam's Club or Costco or wherever you are. But, wow, that's so awesome. So what happened? You invited your friend, and then...
Yeah, so she was open to going, and so I went with her. I told her I would go with her. And it was a good experience. I think that one of the things you didn't really emphasize was the meal. Because if I remember right, the small groups provided the meals. A different small group provided the meals each week, and they were good. Like, they're really good meals. And so the people in the group looked forward to each week to see, because it was always a surprise what you were going to get. Mm. So food is very inviting to people. And so they looked forward to it, and the meals were really awesome. Mm. And I think it was a good program, because it was very casual, so there's not a lot of pressure. So even for the Christians who are attending, you don't have the pressure, like, you have to answer, have all the answers. You don't have to explain, you know, everything. Mm. And really, you are there to listen and support and hear people's stories. Mm. And the setting is very, the one that we did was very casual. It felt very comfortable, and I think that's why people kept coming back.
Mm-hmm. So what happened with your friend?
It was a really good experience for her, and it was so much so that, you know, she started pursuing God, and then they were going to do Alpha again, so she offered to host it at her home.
Oh,
so
wow.
She offered to do it another 12 weeks, because she got so much out of the first one. And then I attended that one with her that she did at her house. Mm. And that was really nice, too, because it was in her home, and she had gone through it, and she was going through the process herself, and the conversations were just really good. I don't remember a lot of the details because it was quite a while ago, but I just remember the experience. That it was very open, very comfortable, no judgment or anything, even for the people who weren't believers. And it was a good time, you know. They enjoyed it each week.
That's awesome. You know, I remember another Alpha group. I think Ruth Sun led it, but they liked each other. It sounded like they liked each other so much that they kept meeting. So the Alpha course ended, and then they just kept meeting, and they became a small group, and they just wanted to do life together. And so, yeah, I can see, you know, as you're explaining about the environment and, just people enjoying the time that they want to continue it. And even though it's 11 weeks, I think at some point as you get to know each other, that it's like, yeah. And then when you come to the end, it's like, oh, is it ending now? And so, that's awesome. So much so that your friend wanted to have another one at her host one at her house. How?
Yeah, and it wasn't any pressure, like you have to lead them to Christ. It's just, I think, the willingness to open that door to help them on their journey, just to explore. And I think for her, that just kind of led her down that path to continue to look for God.
Yeah, so good. So any last words or any encouragement that you want to give to our church family?
It can be intimidating to invite people to events or to feel like you are having to lead them to Christ, but I think a lot of it is just being open. And Alpha is great because it's just an invitation to having great food, open conversation. And it is a big commitment to, if you tell them it's 11, 12 weeks, but if you can say, I'll go with you, and there's no like hard commitment, I encourage you to at least ask or give them the card, and don't say no for them, because you never know what their answers can be, where they're at in their own process. And so just don't say no for them and give them the opportunity to wrestle with it themselves.
All right. All right. Thanks, Belinda, for coming up and sharing. Appreciate it.
I was involved in Alpha at the previous church, and I got to tell you, it was the best, most fruitful, most effective evangelistic ministry outreach tool that I've ever been a part of. Many people here, people that you know, people went through that, and it had a huge impact. So we want to encourage you to think about and pray about. We get busy. One of the things when you ask people, how you doing? What's the first most common answer you hear? Good or busy? Busy, tired, a lot going on. And we do. We have a lot going on in our life. We're busy. Yesterday, I went to a funeral. 54-year-old guy. And he passed away suddenly. And, you know, in those moments, you realize what's important. We're busy. We have a lot going on. A lot of things that are important. But there's nothing more important. Nothing more important than people coming to know the Lord, people being saved. And so I'm going to have the worship team come on up. And as we go into worship, I just want to take a minute to pause. And I want you to just ask the Lord to bring to mind if there's someone that you know that doesn't know the Lord that you could invite. that you could reach out to. We have a lot of opportunities. We have Alpha, but we also have the Catalyst Cup first Sunday in July. It's going to be a lot of fun. That whole month of July, we're going to do a kind of like a seeker series, and it's on good habits, good life. And it's going to be very practical about building good habits and how to do that. So that whole month of July, it's geared so you can invite people, and the messages will be geared for them to have something practical that could encourage them and help them. And so, we're really going to emphasize outreach this summer. I know Yvesha just did a scavenger hunt at the El Dorado Center, and there's different things. There's pickleball going to be. So there's a lot of things that we're trying to increase in terms of activities, just so people can connect and you can invite people to. And it's a partnership, right, with our church and you and your friends and your loved ones, because we want to see people come to the Lord. So let's just take a minute, and we're going to pray and go before the Lord. Okay, so Lord, Jesus, you came, you clearly said you came to seek and to save the lost. That's why you came. And Lord, as I know all of us have family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, classmates that don't know you. And like Noah preached, Lord, they're like a baby going into the street, heading towards a certain future for all of us, which is death. And we have the opportunity to share a message about you giving life and saving. And so right now, Lord, as we just pause before you, Holy Spirit, would you just come? Would you just bring to mind just different people, bring their face to mind, bring their names to mind, bring us to awareness. And as we pause and take time, would you just speak to us about them? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if the Lord's kind of brought someone to mind, can you just take a few moments and just pray for them right now? Pray for that person. However the Lord leads you, just lift them up to the Lord. Pray for their salvation. Pray for them to come to know the Lord. Pray for Jesus to reveal himself to them. Pray the Lord would bring people and circumstances into their life and that would draw them to him. So just lift them up right now in prayer. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Show grace to each of these family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, classmates, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would bring them to you, to a saving knowledge of you. Work in their lives, God. And Lord, pray that some, we would extend invitations, and that some would come to Alpha or come to a service or come to an outing, where you could have, they have an opportunity to meet your family here at Catalyst, and we pray that would bring them closer to you. So thank you, Lord. We just want to come before you now and worship you, honor you, love on you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.